Know what every provision in your agreement actually means, and most importantly, and this is the point I'm going to make repeatedly today, know how case law has interpreted that provision. Just because we're smart and we can read it and we think and we know what it means, have somebody look, do some looking, because almost there's very few clauses in our agreements that haven't been interpreted by a court, and an important court, like a Delaware court. The recent Acorn case that just came out, which I'll talk about in a minute, about MAC clauses, you know, it's 246 pages. It has all kinds of interesting information about different clauses that we use in our contracts, including efforts clauses and things of that nature that I suggest that we all take a look at, because it informs our drafting, because we understand how a judge has interpreted it. The other important point is, because this is always an excuse, well, it was just boilerplate, right? So it doesn't mean anything. And there's a quote from Seventh Circuit, "The fact that language has been used before does not make it less binding when it's used again. Phrases become boilerplate when many parties find that the language serves their end. That's reason to enforce the promises, not disregard them." So you're not going to get out of anything just because it was boilerplate and you didn't read it or you didn't understand it. So let's not do that. So I could have probably had, including some of the stuff, there's a couple of topics on here that the previous panel covered, so I may skip over, but I could have put 15 more of these on this page. But MAC clauses, that's all hot right now, or MAE clauses, we'll talk about that. Effective choice of law clauses, it amazes me that I can still talk about it and there's still people that continue to use stuff that doesn't actually work. Same thing with choice of forum clauses. I'll talk a little bit about non-reliance and the danger of undefined.